really good to be with you this morning. I have the privilege of speaking on prayer. And it really is a privilege. I feel like I could spend about 4 hours talking to you on prayer. But I've been given the almost impossible task of doing it in 10 minutes. I was like, have you met me before? 10 minutes, really? So there's a real danger this morning that you leave feeling like I've tried to feed you a cow when you only had enough room for a steak. And if that's the case, I beg your forgiveness, because I'm going to rifle through a load of stuff. And by God's grace, some of it may well stick. So before we get into any of that, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is the living word. Lord, thank you that one word from you is worth more than the wisdom in 1,000 books. Father, I pray today, as you use my words, that it would be 90% you and 10% me. That your living word would connect with us deep down in a way that is transformational, that can only come from you. It's a big ask this morning, Father, but you are able. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm currently doing Alpha with a good friend of mine. He wasn't able to come to the Crag Alpha, so we agreed that we'd do it together. And a few weeks back, we came to the week on prayer. And I don't know why, but I just had this really weird feeling like he was going to ask me one of those really awkward questions. It's been going great. He's properly interested. He's really, really searching. But I kind of had this feeling like it was going to be one of those really awkward moments. You know, like the question I had in my mind was him saying something like, it's great, you know, God is real, he exists, he's in control, he's for us, he loves us, but this prayer thing, really, do you have to pray? Are you meant to pray every day? Like, do you really think it's worth it? What's the point? I kind of had one of those awkward, how do you kind of answer that in a succinct way question in my mind. And by the grace of God, he didn't ask that. Actually, what happened was we got straight into prayer and it was amazing afterwards. But I want to ask you now, this morning, if someone asked you in that kind of conversation, why do you bother praying? Really? Every day? Do you have to pray every day? Those kind of conversations about the rhythms of our faith, how well do you think you would answer that question? Why do you pray? How good a job do you think you would do of answering that question? Why do you bother? Does it work? Is it worth it? Maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm not going to ask you to come and shout out and tell me where you think you are, but how well do you think you do with that question? If you're anything like me, the answer's probably not that well. I had loads of time to prepare what I thought my friend was going to ask me, and I still didn't really land on something that I was particularly happy about. So you might be asking, why on earth has Peter put Scott on Faithful in prayer then? And it's a very good question. I'm fairly certain Peter wasn't sat there when he was doing the rota thinking, oh yeah, Faithful in prayer, that's Scott. We'll pick Scott for that. Almost certainly not, I would say. And everything I'm going to talk to you about this morning, especially since we've only got 10 minutes, is all from Scripture. So please forgive me if you're used to me giving loads of illustrations, you're used to me talking about things that are current and contemporary and kind of illustrating things really well, you're going to get fed up of me just going back to the Bible every time today. Forgive me. We've only got 8 minutes now. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to talk from Matthew 6. If you want to follow with me, you can. But I'll read it. Matthew 6 says this, words of Jesus. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in their synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this isn't actually in Matthew 6 or in Luke, but we tend to close with the doxology, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And then Jesus ends that before talking about fasting when he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Isn't that a frightening close? If you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. That's my first point this morning. This is an outworking of what God wants from us. A heart of forgiveness. He wants us to one another. As I said, I am really going to rifle through this stuff. I've even got a 2-minute video for you to watch. It's like, what am I thinking? But we're going to do it. Okay. First thing, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. Hallowed means holy. To be much revered. What do we mean by much revered? What does it mean to be holy, set apart, special? When we come into the presence of God, we are facing the creator of the universe. Do we remember that every time we pray? We're talking about God, the creator of the universe, the one that casts stars into space. That's who we're talking about. We're miles on from these slides, by the way, Tim. We're about 5 in now. Forgive me. Do you want me to tell you every time I press on? Okay, we're on the Our Father in Heaven slide. So it's about being holy and set apart. It's about us framing the whole point of our prayer. It's not us coming with our shopping list straight away. It's saying, Father God, we come into your presence and you're the most important part of this whole interaction. Holy and set apart. I have to confess, my prayer life is way more frequently filled with the request of the gifts of God's hands, not coming to seek his face. I don't know if that's the case for you, but so often I come and I say, Father God, can you just, and actually, that's okay from time to time, but we're talking about coming into the presence of God. Let's not fall into that trap of parasitic prayer. Do you know what I mean by that? You know those relationships where it's so one way? You've got that friend who every time you receive the phone call, it's, I just really need, can I borrow, I just wonder if you can give me some. Never do they call and say, how are you getting on? Not had a decent chat for a while. How's work? Anything I can support you with? You know what I mean, don't you, when I say parasitic types of prayer? Because we all know what it's like to have parasitic types of friendships. If you remember nothing else from today, remember this. The most important thing about prayer is seeking God's face, not the gifts of his hands. When we come into his presence, he can transform us by his character. We can learn something that's not on a purely visceral level by coming into the presence of God. Next slide. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, not our will. Your will, Father God. We're coming and we're submitting to God and saying, God, this is about you. It's not just about us. Tozer, in one of the most brilliant sermons I've ever seen, You can get this on YouTube, by the way. It's brilliant, you know. However many decades ago, this guy's sermons are still on YouTube. On a sermon on prayer, talks about the importance of remembering the two worlds, the heavenly realms and the earthly. And he spends a big chunk of time emphasizing that we can fall into the trap of forgetting that there's a difference. And he basically says to all of his listeners, you are sinful, we are sinful, because we get caught up in the traps of the world. We prioritize things in a way that shouldn't be prioritized. We focus on the stuff that is not godly. Our aims and our ambitions are swept away with a world that tells us we need to want more, have more, achieve more. And in that, he's absolutely right. So there's a real importance of focusing on God's kingdom. And yes, those two do meet. Of course they do. We see God's hand at work frequently in the earthly realm. But we need to remember what we're looking for is God's kingdom coming here on earth. It's not our priority. It's God's priority. And again, this is the focus. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. I'm not going to have time today to talk about henosis and kenosis and this idea of Jesus emptying himself that we might be at one with him. I'm preaching again in a few weeks. I'll apologize in advance for that. But there is something about what's possible when we say this is about you, God, and not about us. And actually, when we do that, we'll find that our prayer life drastically transforms because we don't spend as much time with our needs and wants. We are transformed in God's presence. Yes, of course, there's time to pray and petition. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But actually, it's about being in the presence of God and having that transformative experience that completely shifts everything else. Next slide, please, Tim. Give us today our daily bread. This is a good one. Give us our daily bread. Yes, of course we need bread. Thankfully, my wife's a very good cook. I get more than bread. We need bread. But remember when Jesus says to the devil, man does not live on bread alone? There's a spiritual feeding, isn't there? Give us today our daily bread. Be our portion, Father. It's not just, God, can we have the provisions? It's God, this act of prayer is absolutely part of my sustaining for my day, for my week, what you're calling me to today, Father. So give us today our daily bread. I apologize, I am really rifling through. And forgive us our sins, next slide, as we forgive those who sin against us. I'm just going to read two verses from Psalms 24. It says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Forgive us our sins, Father. We live in the presence of Jesus. We live in a time where all of the guys in the Old Testament were not blessed to live. We've seen God's saving grace. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Forgive us our sins, Father, as we forgive those who sin against us. In order to come into God's presence, we need that forgiveness. But it's really important that we ask for it. Remember what Tozer says. We are all swept away. Man is sinful at heart. We need that forgiveness when we come into the presence of God, because sin cannot be in the presence of God. Remember the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Jesus himself was separated from the Father because sin cannot be in the presence of God the Father. So when we come and we ask and we say, God, forgive us. He's achieved it for us already, but we need to come accepting that forgiveness and that grace. Clean hands and a pure heart. It is possible. Jesus has won that. He's paid the ultimate price. But we still need to recognize that in our prayer life. I love this Nicky Gumbel quote, the next little bit. Harboring unforgiveness is like eating poison and expecting the other person to die. Isn't that true? Have you ever met someone who's harbored unforgiveness? I've met some bitter people in my life. And let me tell you, the unforgiveness does nothing to the unforgiven compared to what it does to the person who's harboring that resentment. So this isn't just because God expects us to forgive other people because that's what he wants. It's for our benefit to be forgiven other people. Let us be people that are so filled with grace that we don't harbor resentment. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And remember what Jesus says at the end. He says, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Can we be that church? Can we be that church that is so grace-filled that in spite of the things that we get wrong, in spite of the way we let one another down, that we're so grace-filled that what people feel is love, patience, kindness, peace, you know, the fruit of the Spirit? I won't burst into song. Next slide. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We do not deal with flesh and blood alone. Like Tozer quote, the earthly, the heavenly, there's so much that goes unseen. Lead us not into temptation. This is a prayer of protection. Father God, protect us. By your Holy Spirit, protect us. And it reminds me of the bit in 2 Corinthians. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. There's something proactive in that, isn't there? There's something about, yes, we're all fallen, we're all sinful, but actually, do we let our thoughts lead us, or do we take captive every thought and say, Jesus, I give this to you. Why am I thinking this thing? Where's that come from? Father, this is all yours. Jesus, take this from me. This is not mine. Take captive every thought. Remember that we don't just deal with flesh and blood alone. Next slide, please, Tim. Final few pointers. I listened to a brilliant sermon by the wonderful Tim Keller on prayer. And he talked about prayer in three phases. He says there's three types of prayer. There's prayer as love, prayer as helplessness, and prayer as work. Prayer as love, prayer as helplessness, and prayer as work. And I've put them in that order. He didn't put them in that order, but I've shuffled them around. Because if we go in that order, I think that leads to a healthy rhythm of prayer. I was really pleased that Chris and a few other people praying were talking about this rhythm of listening to God. And I'm going to touch on that in a bit. It's not just about us coming with our requests. It's not just about us adoring the Father. There's loads in that. But there's a rhythm of prayer that can become a conversation if you're prepared to take it away from the shopping list, seeking the gifts of his hands. So, love as adoration, coming into God's presence. Prayer as love. There's something about engaging with God through prayer that can be more powerful than reading the whole of the book of Psalms. And I'll give you a personal example of this. Not as frequently as I would like, but every now and then I get up to Armscliff Crag to do some listening prayer. And I've had some incredible times of revelation, of confirmation, of just really knowing the presence of God. And sometimes it is like he just downloads, you know, sometimes it's like the whole of the book of Matthew and he'll take me through. And it feels like, wow, Father God, where's that come from? The most powerful time of prayer I had came about a year ago. A load of stuff was going on. And I went up and I spent 2 hours listening to God. And the only thing I heard from him that day, the only thing was, you are my son and I love you. 2 hours, that's all I heard. You are my son and I love you. Now for some of us sat there, you'll be grappling thinking, what does that even mean? Like, that's not my experience of God. I don't hear from God in that way. And that's okay. But I want to say that God is faithful in prayer. He is faithful to us when we're faithful in our prayer life. You know that bit in the parable of the prodigal son, where he's walking back really sheepish and he's taking his kind of steps, pondering through, and then the father comes sprinting because he sees him from afar. I want to suggest to you this morning that when we do that, when we go to God humbly, recognizing how far short we fall, but when we come frequently to God, he runs towards us and he will meet you where you're at. So if you're sat there thinking, I've never heard from God in that way, I've never heard that comfort, I've never had that audible word, I've never had that vision, that image. You are my son and I love you. And I was wrapped in an almost indescribable feeling of God's presence that said, peace, peace, peace. 2 hours. Is that not the most important thing that I heard that week? I would say to you, yes, it is. It was way more powerful than all the times where I've had confirmation about what comes next. Wisdom, input, leading, guidance. You are my son and I love you. The most powerful thing that I think I would go back to last year. Okay, last few things. Helplessness. You know in the Psalms where David talks about the deep cries out to deep. We don't have to come with the most articulate words. We can come with groans that say, ugh, I can't articulate. Remember what Jesus says, don't be like the pagans. Don't be like those on street corners. It's all right to just come and groan and say, God, I've not got words for this, but you know. That's all right. Deep cries out to deep. To come with those wordless groans into God's presence because he knows what we need before we pray it. So don't come thinking, oh, my prayer life is so monosyllabic. I'm not articulate. I can't really do justice to what I feel and how much I love God. That's all right. God knows. Just come into his presence and with groans, he will hear your prayer. Last point from Keller. Prayer as work. This is what I think lots of us fall into. This is probably the one where we're all really happy. Like petitioning God, wrestling with him, you know, Israel. Those who wrestle with God. Like we're quite happy, aren't we, to come and say, God, this is what we need. We've seen this situation. We've seen this injustice. Father God, your hand at work. I think these are the things that we probably feel quite comfortable with. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to say to you today, don't come with an expectation that God can work. Remember that quote, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. It's insane that that even happens. We, little old us, pray to God and he works. The omnipotent, all-powerful creator of the universe responds when we pray to him. That's insane. Does anyone not agree with me that that's insane? But it's true. Absolutely true. Think about that William Temple quote. I have noticed that when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. Is anyone in the room sat there thinking, yeah, I can resonate with that. When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. So if you're one of those people that thinks, I'm quite happy with my arrow prayers. I bring in God when there's an acute need for his presence. It's like, God, this is a really important conversation, or this is a really tough meeting. Father God, be with me by your presence. Guide me by your Holy Spirit today. I'm really happy with being that, but actually, do I protect time in prayer? Do I protect time every week to say, I'm just gonna give the creator of all heaven half an hour and say, Father God, this is your time. I'm coming into your presence. I'm gonna worship you today. I'm gonna give space for you to intercede. Remember, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. When we cry out with those wordless groans, God is listening. Jesus is at his right hand interceding for us. Last slide. We're gonna say the Lord's Prayer together. I'm then going to show you a video, and then I'm going to show up. Okay. Keep your eyes on the screen. We'll go through the one on the screen together, if you can see it, so that we all say the same thing. If you don't, if you go your own way and you go with a different version, that's all right. God hears it all. So, let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Bless you guys. I told you I wouldn't get it all done in 10 minutes. However, I'm going to show you a 2-minute video. I really want you to watch this video. And then I've got 30 seconds after that, and we'll be straight into the meeting. So, if it works. So why have I showed you that video? Two reasons. We have a decision to make as a church. Do we want to do this thing? Do we believe God's calling us to do this thing at this time? But also, because these things are only possible by prayer and petition. Just think about that one young man's story. Domestic violence. Father abusing his mother. Growing up in that environment. I know something of what that looks like. And I'm here to tell you, it's only possible by prayer and petition. It's not possible just to have a great education provision. It could be the best school for AP in this area of Leeds. It could be the best alternative provision. But if it's not covered in prayer, it won't work. The impact will be minimal. It's only possible with a praying church. So I bring that as an encouragement and a challenge this morning to say, if we're going to do this thing, we don't all need to be volunteering hours every week. We really don't. Few people, handful of people, given a couple of hours to be volunteering and be present with those kids. That's all that's needed from the volunteering side of things. But if we're not praying for those young people, if we're not praying for the staff to be able to see seeds planted and fruit grown when they share the good news of the gospel, it won't work. All things by prayer and petition. So, just as I hand back over to Chris, Peter, I want to say, next slide, Tim, that God is faithful when we are faithful in prayer. But the good news is, even when we're not consistent and faithful in prayer, God's grace is enough. Remember the prodigal son. It might be 2 weeks intervals of prayer gaps, but every time we come back to the Lord in prayer, he's running towards us with his arms wide open. God bless you.